Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Chris Canty in for Key today.
CC!
Yo!
Now, before I bring our guests in, co-host of the Knucklehead Podcast, I'm a little bit nervous, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because heading into the segment...
Have you listened to Knuckleheads on Players
yes,
Tribune, by
Q, the way? Q Rich points to a jar with some money in it and says, is that the cuss jar? Uh-oh. This is a family program.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles with us. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Will?
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Appreciate
I wasn't
going
to curse or none. I just was wondering what it was. I seen money in it. That's, you know, where I'm from. Those type of things.
A cuss jar.
I'd be walking past money every day. Like, if I took it, would anybody even notice?
You have a gambling problem, Jay. That's the problem.
I made that open multiple times. Yeah. I told y'all I got issues.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it.
The three-man weave? Yeah, he definitely got a problem.
The bonus weave?
So, first of all, I got to know from these guys. Jay, Chris, I got to know from you two. The Oscars last night. Now, I was not watching it live. I saw it blow up on social media. I'm trying to go to bed. I got to get up at 3:30 in the morning. And all of a sudden, what? That has to be staged, right? Yeah. Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. It's got to be staged. And I watched it.
What man slaps another man?
I wasn't sure at first, but then Will Smith's emotion when he was sitting there sold me. You know what I mean? Will Smith sitting there telling him to keep his wife's name out of his mouth. The way he was all choked to the mouth. I said, oh, my God, that was real just then. What was your guys' reaction to that?
We was on the we actually was on the plane on our way out to New York, so we kind of called it like you called it from the social media feed. But it was just sad to see them three, you know, just involved. I felt bad for Jada, felt bad for Will, felt bad for Chris. It was just, you know, it was a big event. It was just sad to see that turned out to be the biggest thing instead of the award he won for King Richard.
There was a meme that was out this morning. I was showing it to CeCe where it was a picture of Jada, and she said, Tupac would have punched him. I know it's bad.
But
I'm sorry.
The bottom line is Jada.
I had to get that in there.
I was reacting. No,
Chris Rock tells the joke. Chris Rock tells a joke. Will Smith is laughing until he turns and sees Jada's hurt by it. Then he gets. So if Will Smith doesn't even know how she's going to react to it, how is Chris Rock supposed to know?
I'm not sure it was that type of laugh from Will Smith. I think that's like, you know, the guy saying something, you just kind of, and then he was like, hold on. I'm not cool with that. To me, I mean, like, I'm with D. I didn't want to see it happen, but I understand, Will. Enough is enough. Like, all of the different jokes along the way, like, not tonight, not up in here.
That's what the laugh was.
And he sent the message to whoever else won't say something like this could be you.
In front of a billion people.
You know what, Q Rich? You absolutely right. That's what the laugh was. The laugh was, y'all gonna make me do it. Tonight is the night it's gonna happen.
This is the comparison, right? Like, remember when they used to do the Hack a Shack on Shaq?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And you would come up and whoever had to go file him knew you was about to get a little like, don't do it. That's like Shaq. Like, what Shaq you say? Watch your face. Like, don't do that. When we were young fellas, we come there to try to get a tip done. He'd say, hey, I like one time he lit D Miles almost had him. He lifted D Miles up like this. And when D Miles went over there, he said, hey, I like you. Don't do that.
You almost had a D Miles until you didn't.
I had the tip dunker. I couldn't let him see me coming.
Yeah.
Darius, talking, say it into the mic.
I had the tip dunker. I couldn't let him see me coming. You know, you got after he box out, you got to just come from behind and just catch it off the rim. But after he see you, he'll tell you, man, I like you, but you're going to hit that flow.
So, fellas, we know it was a bad look last night what happened at the Oscars, but Jay and I were talking, and Max didn't quite understand when we said it's more disrespectful to slap him
than it is to punch him.
I don't think Max understood.
Don't get it bent. What I said was you were like, I'd rather be punched than slapped.
Yes.
What I'm saying is if Will Smith would have punched him, he might have laid him out. The slap, he caught him with the fingers, so Chris Rock could just keep on going.
No, you can't five finger me to the face. You can't do me like that. You gotta punch me. I gotta have some type of, man, I'd rather take your punch than to take your slap. That's like spitting on you or something.
Yeah.
What I don't know is I do know. Chris Rock was being a professional, but if that had been me,
see,
and he turned
see?
Like that,
see?
You remember
what
Jokic did to Morris? Like, I might have drop kicked him like Shawn Michaels or something. Like, it would have been something. I wasn't just letting him walk off after that.
First of all, I don't think Chris Rock thinks that's a fight he can win. I know that's not
don't
the point.
Don't matter. You got to go.
Matter.
That's
principle.
Don't matter.
You got to go.
You got to go, Max.
I get you. I understand what you're saying. I'm giving the other point of view, which is you're hosting the Oscars. First of all, you're not expecting that to happen. You think Will Smith's coming up, maybe he's going to like throw you in a yoke almost like as a joke, something. He slapped you. It's never happened in the history of TV like that, ever. Like, you're not expecting that, ever. And then second of all, the show's still going. You're going to jump on the dude and they're going to go to color bars like in the old days? Like in the old days?
I'm talking about Macho Man throw up the sign off the stage. Like, you got to get him.
Other thing I noticed is,
let him break it up.
You notice Will did not rear back and do like a wide slap. He did this from the Ali movie. He threw it straight from the shoulder. Yeah. If you watch it, it was almost like he was throwing a punch. And that helped Chris Rock out because he only got hit with this part of the hand instead of the palm.
See, you missed it though, because it wasn't just a slap. It was what he said after the slap. And the thing that got the most, he said it again.
Yeah, he said it twice.
He said it the second time louder than the first, keep my wife's name out your mouth. Like, that was a sign, like, all right, I'm putting everybody on blast. Right?
But Chris Rock's not trying to be a tough guy. You heard what he said. He's like, I will. you made your point.
His technique was real tight with it. That's why I didn't think it was real when I first seen it. After he walked off and straightened his suit, like.
Yeah
he was so was calm when he walked off.
His technique was tight.
It was a straight right hand, straight from the shoulder, turned the hips and everything.
The disappointment for me was that I didn't totally expect Chris Rock to do nothing then, but I expected, like, to hear something at some point. Like, that just don't happen and just that's just it.
Yeah, like backstage. I was glad
you didn't press charge. I was like, okay, good. He probably gonna see him at the after party or something. Exactly. Like, I'm gonna see you. Like, just take off my jacket. Like, you already know what it is, but I didn't hear none of that.
Yeah, he's taking an L on national television, the whole world watching. I can't be the one to do that. But speaking of taking L's, man, Q Rich, you know I'm a Lakers fan. And my boys keep taking L's. Right now, we're in the 10th spot. We lost to the Pelicans after having a 23-point lead, and we're only one game in front of the Spurs for the last spot in the play-in tournament. Tell me it's going to get better for my Lakers. Lie to me.
No, it's not going to get better. I'm a Clipper, if you didn't know. But
I know.
I'm kind of over there just happy that they're going through what they're going through. But I just sad to see LeBron going through that. He's playing so well at his age, and it's like a wasted year of good, you know what I'm saying? 52 50-point games, multiple 30-point games, triple doubles. Like this year, if he was playing on a better team, he'd be MVP. But to see it now, the struggle, you know, he have his happy days, he have his sad days, but it's sad to see him in that position. But the Lakers, yes.
I would say it's crazy to see, you know what I'm saying? When you look at the team as it was assembled, when they got Russ, I was like, oh, Lord, what's about to happen? But I feel like AD's, you know, not being able to play, you know, his availability has been, you know, the Achilles heel for him. I mean, I feel like if he plays and he's consistently there for the most of the season, I think it's a different team. I don't think Russ struggles as bad because he neutralizes a lot of things that's bad that's going on.
Defensively, especially.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you look at a lot of other players they lose that's not playing. Kendrick Nunn hasn't been there the whole year pretty much, and he was supposed to be a good piece for him. So, I mean, I think the biggest part is the people that haven't been able to play. And, I mean, we can all understand that excuses can be made, but then you look at all the other things going on. But I think those are like, reactions to what's happened from the injury standpoint and guys not being available.
It just feels like this caveat is always one that's following Anthony Davis, right? Like, we got stats yesterday, you know, in his entire Laker career, he's missed one out of every three games he's played. I'm curious. Damn. Yeah, right? It's wild. Y'all always been having real conversations in locker rooms and you guys talk to players at a different rate. What's the overall conversation player-centric around AD from a player's perspective?
I would say, I would say that he has to be available. I mean, period. I mean, and I think that's the thing that people don't understand. I look at it when I was in Orlando and we had Dwight, and it's like everybody want to go and be with where it's the big, big deal. L.A., the Lakers, you know, the Lakers are the Lakers. This isn't like, you know what I'm saying, like it was okay for AD to miss those games in New Orleans and it wasn't the national news. Now, play, bro. Like, you got the most money you could get. They gave you all the money they could give you. Do whatever you got to do in the offseason to be ready to play. Some stuff you can't, you know what I'm saying, you can't avoid. You know, you roll your ankle, you do it's snake bitten, whatever you want to say, but like.
Aren't there some dudes just like that? Like, I hear what everyone's saying. I'm going to take devil's advocate again here, okay? Because I get the point, but I think of a like Eric Davis, baseball player from the 80s and 90s, right? Eric Davis out of L.A. played for Cincinnati was like what Ken Griffey turned out to be. He stole 80 bases, hit almost 40 home runs, did everything, center field. He loved baseball like, you know, a gamer. Just injury prone. The dude's ligaments, whatever, were not attached the way Cal Ripken Jr., some more kind of brolic, you know, like mesomorphic type dude, right? Aren't some guys just like that? AD is 6'11". He grew a foot one year. His connective tissue is just different. That's his fault?
Oh, it's not, you know, criticizing him or anything. It's just the truth. It's like, it's unlucky, it's unfortunate. You don't wish it for him. You don't want to talk bad on him. But the truth is that if Anthony Davis is available, that's a different Lakers team. Point blank. I mean, yeah, I'm sure LeBron, Russ, the whole team, the organization, the fans, nobody, like LeBron is good friends with him. He's not looking at him like, you know, mad at him that he knows it's not something that he's trying to do. But the facts are the facts. When I played for the Knicks, I wasn't as healthy as I wanted to be. Those are the facts.
You can't
change those facts. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are just the facts no matter what. You know, I think AD is a great guy. I think if he was able to play, he would play. I don't think he's cheating them in no type of way. I think it's unfortunate. But those things still remain.
But Q Rich, let me ask you this question. Let me ask it this way. When Street Clothes has missed so much time since he's been a Los Angeles Laker,
man.
And then you hear the rumors that he's not in shape or he doesn't come into training camp in the best shape, doesn't there have to be some accountability on his part in terms of being available to his team or not being healthy?
Now, see, that's a different element to it. When you bring that into it now as a teammate, I can turn and look at you like, what the heck?
Yeah.
If there is any truth to those rumors you're saying that it's because of his not being in top conditioning or not being in top shape or whatever, like, those things are inexcusable because you who you are, you all world, you top 10 in the league, and you got all the money you can pay for it to facilitate whatever you need to get done. Like, it's no reason that shouldn't be number one on your priority list.
And, like, as a professional athlete, you know, if you don't come into training camp in your best shape, you're going to have a long year of nagging injuries all throughout the year. And us as professional athletes, you know, it's our job to come in prepared for the season to go a whole 82-game season and maybe the playoff to go to the championship. If you're not coming in the top shape, you're just setting yourself up for failure, kind of.
Mm. Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson joining us, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast on Players Tribune on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. D, I got to ask you, you spent some time in Cleveland. Are we going to see LeBron James have an ownership stake in the Cleveland Cavs when it's all said and done? Like, he's made it known that having an ownership stake in a team is what he wants to do. If you're Dan Gilbert, doesn't it behoove you to be like, yo, look, I'll allocate whatever portion of equity you want because this could help my franchise move forward? Would you do that?
If I was Dan Gilbert, I would. But, you know, with their history, you never know.
If you were LeBron, would you?
Yeah, if I was LeBron, any team that offered me, same way as Mike, any team that offered me, it don't matter if it's the Bulls or the Wizards, Bobcats, like any team that offered me and give me the opportunity to do that, you should do that.
DM, is there any chance that we see LeBron James back in a Cavs uniform before his playing career is all said and done?
If I was him, I wouldn't. I'd run to Golden State or, you know what I'm saying, back to Miami before I go to Cleveland.
You think it's over? You think he won't end up in L.A.?
I think he's going to try to finish in L.A. You know, he got kids, he got a wife. A lot of people don't want to move around.
You know, I think about the Lakers. If I'm LeBron, obviously what's going on is he wants to buy a team, right? Clutch wants to buy it. Okay. If I'm the Lakers, like, they're owned by the Buss family. Mm-hmm. They don't make money somewhere else. This is their business, right? A
yeah.
lot of siblings, right, to mm-hmm. split up all that money. Not everyone's making $100 million a year in the right? – If once the value starts hitting $5 billion after the Clippers sale, I don't think it's impossible that the siblings might vote to say, you know what, it's time to sell. And then LeBron and Clutch are in a nice position to scoop the Lakers. Wouldn't that be incentive for him to stay in L.A.?
Yeah, you know, but the Buss family have been doing a great job for a long, long time. And I don't think that golden goose is going to get let go quite yet.
Plus, that's a lot of bees.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bees to come up with.
And you got
like,
Magic.
Like LeBron and Clutch do well. That's
Magic will contend for it, too, now.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought Kobe was going to be in that mix, too.
Yeah, it's other Lakers in front that I feel like should have a first-come, first-serve like opportunity at the Lakers.
Q Rich, we saw Kyrie come back and play his first home game in Barclays since the vaccine mandate for the private sector was lifted in New York City. Does him being a full-time player with the Nets now make them the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
hard for me to say team to beat because, like, they haven't had a lot of continuity with Kyrie, but they definitely are right there. They're as deadly as anybody because when you got those two guys who are two of the best players, period, you know, they can both go off, and if they get rolling, they can beat anybody. You know, those two guys, if they get to going crazy together, they can beat anybody, I feel like.
It's clear you don't feel the same way.
Yeah. Man, it's, you know, with Kyrie and KD, I think seven games, that type of firepower, it's not going to be too many nights he's going to go, you know what I'm saying, that lower shooting percentage. I think they're the team to beat, and I think it's a problem for the first and second seed. Ooh, I feel like them last 10 games, a lot of people going to be resting guys and just be like, yeah, we cool.
So what you're saying is if you are Miami or if you're Philadelphia, you ain't tripping that Boston is number one in the Eastern Conference standings right now.
I think you Miami. I think if you 76ers, Milwaukee, anybody, you don't want to see KD and Kyrie in no first round. You're going to hope they get put out in the play-in. But
who's the closest in terms of a combination of players in the East that can match up? It doesn't have to be a matchup one-on-one, but I mean, where you see two guys and you go, those two have almost as much talent as Kyrie and KD.
Talent?
Shoot, nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody's
I was going to say, defensive matchup, though, I would love to see Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart go against him, though. I mean, I'm not saying they would do it, but at least they would try to own it.
Yeah, nah, nobody as good as those two dudes on the team. Like
Embiid and Harden?
They cool, but not as good as those two. Like, nah, not in. When you look at those two individually, like, come on, man. For real.
That's the series like I want to see, though.
Like KD told you know who I am. You know what I'm saying? But, like, Kyrie, like he was top 75. Let's stop playing with him, bro. Like they mad at him because of the way he acted. This has nothing to do with basketball. When you leave it inside those lines, it's nobody going to argue that.
The most skillful player
Nobody's going to argue that. He giving people the business, for real. Like, I call him the bus driver because he take everybody to school. I'm serious. Like, nah, they can't just act like that.
Are they the most skilled duo in the history of the game?
I think so.
I mean, the only, MJ, Scotty? I mean, but, like.
Skills have evolved. Yeah.
Like, Kyrie and KD, they so unique. And so different at the same time and so the same at the same time. They just
– So, fellas, let me ask y'all this question. If that's the case, how much pressure is on Steve Nash to make this all work and for them to go on a title run?
It definitely is. But it's a lot of up and downs. You know, they had a player that didn't know if he wanted to be there or not, and so that was up and down. KD went out and they lost a lot of games. Kyrie couldn't play all year.
But that's all in the past, though. Right now, you got Kyrie, you got KD, you got Seth Curry, you got all of these role players around these two.
But you still
how much pressure is on Steve Nash to get this done?
It is. All the pressure is on him, but you got to kind of give him some pass because look what he went to. And for him to even get a chance to still be in the playoffs is amazing. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like the play-in and so forth. I'm like, come on. We know these guys was number one in the East the first 3 months of the season. And then KD get hurt and everything just went all the way to eighth, ninth seed. So you got to kind of give him a pass for that. But now, you know, when playoffs are, all the records gone. It's me and you.
How about a team that's not in the playoffs? What do you guys think about the Knicks? Where are the Knicks? D. Miles said, who? The Knicks.
No, I don't know that
time. Yeah. He said, who?
Who? CD, that's what I love. Go ahead.
Are there some owls in here?
It's so personal. I love when it becomes personal.
What do you want to know about them?
Well, where do they need to go? Let's start off with this. Would you give R.J. Barrett a max extension?
I like R.J. Barrett.
See, I love him. That's my dude. I love him, too.
Because I feel like everybody's been counting him out, and he's been playing so well. I feel like he's definitely a positive for the Knicks. But, I always want the players to get the money, whether they deserve it or not. But, man, max money? You mean to tell me you're going to give him, like
– Luka Doncic money.
Luka Doncic money and Bradley Beal. And
that's what they're going to ask for?
Yeah, you're supposed to. You know, you're supposed to.
So when I was in the front office in Detroit, right, I would be the guy saying, you know, in the meeting, like, no. Because this is why, though. You look at what happened last year, right? They had this great season. And they went out, paid people. Now you got Julius Randle maxed out. You brought in Fournier. You had brought in Kemba. You got – then you're talking about – so why are they upset with Julius Randle right now? And they saying that he – is he or isn't he a max guy? Mm. That's what you don't want to do with R.J. Barrett. I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but you don't want to get yourself in a situation where you locked in with max guys and you're not sure what they are. You know what I'm saying? You're not sure. Like,
what do you think he could be? He's only 21, and he's getting better. I don't think he's a max guy right now, but he's getting better. He's young still to be getting better like that.
The biggest thing that I feel like that I love about R.J. Barrett and that he has going for him here in New York, that New York doesn't faze him. Mm. Like, a lot of dudes get stunned and get stuck because
what is it
New
about
York,
New York?
The fans. The fan. The chatter is too loud. Like, the thing that I love about Barrett is that he stayed here. He never gets way up here. He never gets down here. He's kind of right here. And that's what you need in New York, because if he's been talked about, criticized, whatever, and then you see he's still, all right, I'm going to still go. I like that about him at Duke. Everybody came to see Zion, but you're going to watch him get this 27, 28. Yep. And he's going to force it. Like, he plays as hard as he can play. He leaves everything out there. So I think those things work for him. And that he doesn't, you know what I'm saying, like Julius Randle, love him, but he's shown that he can be shaken by New York fans. He did. He blinked.
Yep.
R.J. Barrett has not.
But it's what happened, yeah.
It doesn't matter. He blinked for whatever the reason is. R.J. Yeah. Barrett has been under fire doing this and that, and he hasn't. He stayed. He ain't got on no internet and said nothing. He ain't said
he
nothing.
He ain't throwing his thumbs
Speaking
down.
Of stayed, I want to – can you guys stay?
Yeah,
all right.
Good.
Okay, good. We're going to be – right back with Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson, co-hosts of the Knucklehead Podcast, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty in for Key today. Tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Much more with Darius and Q.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty in for Key. Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson, co-hosts of Knucklehead Podcast, are here with us. Knucklehead's podcast, cutting through the clutter. Not easy. Not easy, but they're doing it. So Darius and I spent the break talking fight game. Floyd Mayweather fan. Darius, huh?
Big Floyd Mayweather fan.
Terrence Crawford fan.
Big Bud fan.
Yeah. Meantime, what can people expect when they tune into the Knuckleheads podcast, guys?
You can expect just real stories, a rags to riches type stories, just amazing people that we interview. You know, they're not, some of them is not the biggest superstars that you see on TV or commercials, but man, they got some amazing stories, a lot of laughter. You know, it'd be a lot of fun. We laugh all the time. And man, we get deep into it. We talk about mental health. We go all the way around the board, and we just show how all athletes, the 5,000 or 5,500 that ever played in this league or the NBA. They all got great stories, unique stories, and, you know, I'm blessed to be putting their stories out there and putting them in a good light.
What's the story that, I mean, I'm sure you guys have had a lot of stories, but is there one particular story where you just like, damn, wow, like just really blew you away?
Recent season, one coming up, we haven't dropped it yet, but Tyronn Lue, you know, he's been around so much history in his career. He done been through so much. He's done played with Mike. He's done played with Kobe. He's coached LeBron. He's won a championship. And like I told him, he's part of history. You can't mention the NBA without mentioning Tyronn Lue's name. You know, he's from small town Mexico, Missouri, and I'm just amazed by his story, and that was real touching. He always been a friend of me, but I never really dug deep into his career and his life. You know, we just been friends, and I never got that deep. But to interview him and to have him come on our show and just, man, show what he means to the NBA and what he means to the basketball culture, I was happy that we did it with him.
Best coach in the league, by the way, right now. Who's a better coach than Ty Lue? Who'd you rather have?
I would say that a story that I was surprised by that made me more of a fan of him is C.J. McCollum. We just dropped his, right? But just to hear about his older brother and how at a young age he kind of planned and mapped their whole life out, and he really was hard. Like, he's only 1 or 2 years older than C.J., and you don't really hear a lot of stories where somebody at 10, 11 years old is locked in on what him and his younger brother is going to do for the rest of their life. And he was so disciplined at it, you know, like he wouldn't allow CJ to spend the night at a friend house because he like, nah, 7 a.m., we got to work out. Mm-hmm. Like 10, 11 years old, like that's unheard of. And then to see how much, you know, CJ respects him and see what his older brother, even though he hadn't made it in the NBA, what he's done overseas and how he's a like leading scorer all the time over there and just – even after past basketball, once they made money and how they started businesses together, just to see something like that from two guys from the inner city, you know, single parent family and stuff like that, and the bigger brother at that young of an age to take the helms and really guide them through life, and it works out the way that he planned it. That it was incredible, and I didn't know that about him, but it shows. Listening to that interview shows you why CJ is as good as he is. Because he got a little arrogance to him, but you understand it when you understand how hard he's worked and how much he's put into his game. And you become, you know, when you work hard at something and you know you've gotten good, you get that
way. President of the Players Union, too, now. Like, oh, yeah. Like an impressive guy all around.
Very much so.
Yep. Talking to Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast on KJM. And fellas, one of the teams that kind of flies under the radar, and it's surprising to say this about the reigning defending champs, is the Milwaukee Bucks. Are we giving Giannis and the Bucks their proper respect when it comes to them competing and trying to defend their title?
You know, we're in a day and age, the most popular always gets you know, the biggest fan. But I think Giannis them is sitting back and looking like, man, we still got a chance to double up, win back-to-back chips. I think they're kind of happy the attention is away from them, but I think they're the team to beat in the East. I think the Nets going to have to go through them, or whoever going to have to go through them and beat them to win it.
Seven-game series, which team wins?
The Nets or
Milwaukee?
I'm just so KD and Kyrie'd out that it's hard for me to go against them when they're healthy and they playing.
They were destroying them last year without Harden, and Joe Harris was MIA. Yeah. And the two of them took them to the woodshed in Brooklyn, barely lost that game in Milwaukee before Kyrie got hurt, played well defensively. You got to think, I'm with you, Darius, if they're healthy, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
They got two of the most unstoppable players in the league. And down the stretch, they are my – them the guys, if I had to pick anybody out the league that I want to shoot the ball at the end of the game,
one and two,
they'll play for the same team. Well,
how about this? We talk about legacy all the time, and I think he's one of the most prolific, innovative offensive players the game has ever seen. What do you think inevitably will be the legacy of how we will view, as a hooper, James Harden?
I love James Harden. I think I think he's top five two guards ever. If he's not five, he's six. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like he deserves everything he done. I feel like he went on an MVP run for like 8 years straight, and he only won one. You know what I'm saying? He could have won MVP like 8 years in a row. And I feel like sometimes stuff like that get thrown to the side. I feel like he did something in this league a lot of cats ain't do. His name is in record books with Kobe's, Mike's, and the best of them. He just passed Reggie Miller for three-pointers. You know, like we can't take away just because you don't like his style of play or stuff like that. We can't take away from what he do. And I think he's going to go down here. So he deserved to be on the 75. He did a lot of stuff, and, you know, you got to respect it.
Darius, you know? How much of a microscope or how much of a spotlight is on James Harden this postseason, given how he forced his way out of Brooklyn and knowing that he left two guys that – seemingly are going to compete for a championship this year?
Yeah, I think he's smiling in Philly now, but they got some of the hardest fans like New York. And, you know, it's quick to change. And so, but we hope he don't.
And he hasn't been great in the play. Like, my thing with Harden is, and by the way, I don't care what anyone says, I think Steph turned a corner at a certain point. I felt the same way about Steph. You can beat me in the head with whatever you want. I've seen Steph not be his same self in too many finals, right? Mm-hmm. Then recently that changed. Hasn't changed for Harden. Like, when he's great all the time, in the playoffs, he's been something less than his normal self, right? Do you agree with that? And why would that be, in your opinion?
I don't know why it is. I do agree with it. But back to what you said about his legacy. When I think about Harden, I agree with everything D said. All world, he's done some incredible things. You know, all of the statistics, top seven for everything is more than deserving. But he hasn't won. Mm-hmm. And when you come down to it, when you look at the teammates he's had Hall of Fame, top 75 teammates. And it's guys that when they have those, who's that I heard say something the other day? Like, if I had that, I'd have got about five, six. Paul Pierce. Like, and he's true for saying that, because it's like when you see these type of guys come through the door, every year that it was happening, it was like, oh, is this Harden's year? Like, we had Chris Paul, we had Dwight. You know what I'm saying? Back with KD and Kyrie, like, what do you
and
want?
Russ.
Like, yeah, Russ,
OKC, like, you can't, yeah. Like, you can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, it's like, all right, now it's time. We gotta win. And then, like you said, you can't have those glaring performances where you've been this supernova averaging 40, triple double, 30, triple double, whatever. Then you get to the postseason and it's like 18 or 20. It's like, no, bro, we need the 40 and the triple-double.
But CQ, this is why I have a hard time sometimes when you do like national radio, because obviously we qualify things by, can you win it? But D, back to your point, like, it's also when you put it into perspective, which I don't think it gets rewarded by the public. You're like, damn, he has accomplished so much, but like, we belittle it, we demean it, because it doesn't equate to championships. And that's what there's like this weird, delicate.
He put himself in that conversation, though. He put himself in that conversation through his play.
I'm with the championship thing. Like, as you plan, you pose to fight every year for a championship. But if it don't go that way, you mean to tell me Barkley is not one of the best power forwards ever, and he don't deserve the credit he gets just because he didn't win a championship? Yeah, we all for championship. We competitors. We arrogant in that way, especially as professional athletes. But, man, you can't define him because he didn't win a
championship. But the way he forced his way out of Houston and the way he forced his way out of Brooklyn – I don't know.
We arrogant.
The reason. Listen, I'm not belittling him for anything, but if we're gonna give him certain accolades and certain credit, he's got to be compared to those that are who he's like, and those people have won championships. When you get to the top 75, mm-hmm. and you get to all, and I'm not taking one thing away from a scoring title. He did all of that, but I'm saying when you see all of these accolades and all these accomplishments, there usually is a title somewhere to go along with it. And if it's not, there's going to be something said about that. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it goes. Like, when you get into the ultimate level of greatness, he's one of the greatest players we've ever had in the league, period. But if he want to be in that special room, like they talk about the special room, like, that's reserved for champions. I'm sorry.
Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson, that's what you get on the Knuckleheads podcast. Some of the best, most interesting stories. As they said, not many people have ever played in the NBA, like and everyone basically in the world who can play in the NBA is playing in the NBA. So it's a special thing to even get there, let alone to do it on that level. Guys, thanks so much for today. Appreciate you coming through.
Thank you for having me.
Love. Yes, sir.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Guys, Peyton Manning sent Tom Brady a bottle of wine with a 2-page letter to congratulate him on his legendary NFL career, right? Because Brady, after all, had retired.
Yep. Until he didn't.
There was a Seinfeld episode about this. What are you like? Someone got married and they got all these gifts, and then the marriage didn't come off, or they got divorced, and everyone wanted their gifts back because it had been like a week. So, Brady was retired for 40 days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He gave up football for Lent.
So, Peyton told the story at an event hosted by the Mint Collective on Saturday, said he wants his money, he wants his gifts back from Brady. Should Brady return the gift?
It depends on what kind of bottle of wine we're talking about. Okay. I'm assuming that it's a really nice bottle of wine.
Then yes or no?
No, you don't return the bottle. Well, first of all, if he's drunk
it ain't
the
boxed
wine,
that's for sure.
You can't
Chris.
Return it.
Well,
so
you can send him back the bottle.
You can give him something in kind.
Wait, y'all are tripping. If you send me an incredible bottle of wine,
I'm drinking it.
Well, it's already gone.
Yeah, I'm drinking
in
it.
My system.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, I've already celebrated.
You can suit him back a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you know. You'll have another chance to give me a nice gift.
No, I'm sending you a thank you card. Thank you. I will see you when we play.
Yeah,
Jay drank the bottle of wine and then wrote a drunk
ESPN
card.
Yeah, I'll see you
Eli.
When we play. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you for the bottle of wine.
I'll come on the Manning cast for Monday
exactly.
Night Football.
Exactly. There are other ways I can pay you back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brady is unbelievable that he's still going like this.
But speaking of which, like when you have somebody that has as much as Tom Brady does,
what do you get?
Do you really need to gift him anything for his retirement? He's already got everything he wants.
How do you get? Could you imagine on Christmas, on his birthday, what Giselle has to do? Like, what do you get the guy who has everything?
Well, I know what Giselle probably gets. Likes it every time.
We got Coach Queso for his retirement, right? We got him like a long handwritten letter, a nice inscribed, great bottle of wine.
So what happens if they lose in the championship game? He has the itch. He's like, you know what? Sorry, John Shire. One more year, I'm coming back. What are you doing with the retirement
game?
That dude's
made me so much money. I'll keep sending him keep sending him wine. Right. What else do you want, Coach?
Exactly.
I'll send you a Rolex next season.
Jay would take the wine and drink it, obviously, Evan. He's already answered that question. Wait, that's Coach K's wine. Never mind. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. We are back in 10 seconds. Oh,
and we're still going. Nope.
And the remix. Did you guys ever see Dana Carvey as George Bush back in the day? George H.W. Bush back in the day?
Now we're at 10 seconds.
Nah.
He didn't have enough to say. They kept saying, no, you still have 30 seconds left.
Nah.
He kept trying to.
Nah, but cool
that's what
story,
I just
Max.
Did. Back
cool
in 10
story.
Seconds.
You voted at KJ and Max on Twitter, and we listened. It's time for Choose Your Own Adventure.
Well, you voted on what we should talk about this final segment. Tom Brady's gifts from Peyton Manning. 5.2% of you want us to talk about that. All right. Albert Pujols, back to St. Louis. Pujols hasn't been a great player since he left St. Louis.
Feel-good story, though, Max.
It is.
Feel-good story.
12.1%.
Doesn't happen without the DH in the National
League. No doubt about it.
Are you rooting for Duke now that it's Coach K's last season? 14.2%. And edging out these three choices with 68.4% of the total vote, which is twice as much as all three other choices combined, it's Will Smith versus Chris Rock. That's all people want to talk about today, guys.
We like to feel like we're evolved as a society, but all we really want to talk about is a grown man slapping another grown man on national television.
Well, shocking. At
the biggest award show in the world.
In the case of fighting, and also that we're in the middle of March Madness, that was like a 16 seed versus a one. Like, that's it. It's like seeing it was a one seed in Will Smith, who's 6'2.
Jay, there was this one time with a 16 seed beating
that
a one.
Wasn't going to be that time last night, CC. That was not
Chris
last
Rock,
night.
Chris Rock is not going to be UNBC.
Chris Rock was like a deer in headlights. He's like, what the hell just happened? He just slapped me.
I still don't understand it, though. You see Will Smith walk on stage, and you don't have any kind of reaction, no defense mechanism. Like, you don't even put your hands up, chest
If you
level.
Put your hands up, it looks, in that moment, it, like, at that moment, he thinks this is games.
No, because
he doesn't know it's real.
I can play with you. I can be like, hey, what's going on here now?
Yeah, Bob and Weed.
Well, Will Smith like, walked up smiling, it looked like.
I don't care what you're doing. You walking up to me unannounced on a national platform of something that I didn't see coming. Like, what's going on? What's
up? You would, what you would do, I don't know if you put up your hands, but you step back and create a little space.
Something, Max, but he didn't do anything. Now, he did eat the slap, which I'll give him credit for, and he kept it moving.
Like, it was nothing, by the way.
There's a degree of professionalism that we got to give him credit for. Yeah. I don't know that I would have been able to have that same composure. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if I'm Chris Rock, I'm not going to let Will Smith just roll up on me like that, dog. It's just not happening.
Yeah. No, but then again, Will Smith ain't rolling up on you.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
It doesn't matter, though. I know that I'm 6'8", 340 pounds. But
how tall are you? How much do you weigh again?
6'8", 340
when
pounds.
When he was asking,
Max has been asking you all the time.
All
he
has is like, you said the same exact thing. There's no way that you're letting Will Smith roll up on you like that.
No, it ain't happening. Yeah. I can see. I'm like, oh, what's up, Will? You good? Like, I'm backing up.
Yeah.
My hands are – I'm joking, Max. My hands are up. They're moving like, oh, what's going on? Just in case you try me.
I agree. Yeah. Like, even if I think back to, like, old celebrity roasts, if someone jumped up on the stage at Frank Sinatra, even, he would probably be like, hey, what's going on? And step back. Well, his dad was a boxer out of Jersey. But you know what I mean? He would at least – like, one of those old celebrity roasts used to be on network TV back in the day. Even then, nothing like that happened. Well, they used to joke around, actually. Sometimes someone would act like they're mad, get up, and pretend like they're mad. So, like, there really wasn't precedent for this. But you would think the reaction would be just your natural built-in adrenal response. Like, fight or flight would even be like, let's create a little distance.
Chris Rock got so much money, he's like, man, I haven't been in fighting 50 years. What are y'all talking about?
Right, exactly.
And by the way, the line he said afterwards, he's like, keep my wife's name out of your eyes.
I will.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, it's almost like, you ever see Half-Baked?
Yes, of course.
When Samson pulled the crossbow on Dave Chappelle, and he said, he goes, Samson, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He had to make sure he knew.
What was the Rottweiler's name? Like Kibbles? The story they told about Kibbles?
Was it Kibbles?
It had to be Kibbles.
No.
He met his cousin Kibbles or something like that.
It was on a fight poster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
He had to fight his brother Kibbles.
Yeah. Let me tell you who's not going to be on a fight poster anytime soon. Chris Rock.
Although, you know what the best line from Chris Rock was? This is what I was impressed with Rock, okay? You're hosting a show in front of a billion people, whatever. Something that has never happened before happens, right? How are you even expecting that? The dude was laughing at my joke 5 seconds ago. He came up on the stage and slapped me in the face. He said, this was Chris Rock's response. First of all, he didn't even stagger. He just took the slap. Then the Fresh Prince just slapped the bleep out of me. And then he said, this is the greatest TV of all time or something like that, right? He's not wrong. Can you remember a more compelling TV moment that didn't have real world consequences on the line, right? I'm not talking about like some terrible tragic events or huge world events. Can you remember a moment on television that stands out in your memory like this?
Wardrobe malfunction by Janet Jackson.
There's one. These are the biggest moments in live TV history, basically. What else?
I don't know.
Come on, Jay. Come up with
something. I'm thinking.
When I was a kid, the big ones were, and they weren't always live, Muhammad Ali fought Leon Spinks in a rematch in 78, won back his title for the third time. First guy to do it, broke records. Last episode of Roots was this huge TV event, right? Broke records. Last episode of Who Shot JR, Dallas, right? Was this huge thing. There were these TV moments, but they weren't usually live TV.
Yeah.
It was scripted TV. It was a drama. It was a sporting event. I'm talking about an impromptu moment.
I'll give you another one. Richard Sherman in the NFC Championship game
after he denies Michael Crabtree in the end zone, and he's with, I think
called
it was
a mediocre or something.
I think it was Aaron Andrews. Yeah, it was just like, yeah. It was a situation where it made it really uncomfortable because he had a lot of things to say about Michael Crabtree, about disrespecting him. Don't you ever disrespect the best. That was a moment that I remembered.
See, it wasn't a moment. See, Last Dance for me, just because it was over the pandemic. It was like the last 2.5 years, man. I'm going to be real with you. It feels like a blur.
I feel like if Twitter was bigger back when, like, the Kanye Taylor Swift happened, like, that was Twitter was around, but it wasn't what it is today. Like, I feel like that was a huge TV moment, but we didn't have the Twitter reaction we had last night.
We did when Kanye said George Bush doesn't like black people. I mean, that became big. That was really big.
That was a thing.
Well, we've said it all today. We laughed. We cried. We talked to the Knuckleheads podcast. We learned things. We argued. We made up.
We also know that Will Smith ain't having it.
We also know that Canty's 6'8", 300 pounds.
Yes, because Max wouldn't let us.
6'8", 340. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.